Welcome to the Holy Rebels Podcast, ancient wisdom for modern mystics. I'm Nina Hielenda, Franciscan sister and founder of Dancing Spirit Tours. If you're a spiritual seeker or a mystic in the making, the Holy Rebels Podcast will help you connect with your soul. Let's get started. The genius of Ignatius of Loyola cannot be overstated. Ignatius was a 16th century mystic and theologian who developed the concept of discernment of spirits. This framework is invaluable because it shows you how to sift through your spiritual experiences and identify what draws you closer to God and what distances you from the divine. Our interior lives are largely hidden from us, so it's not always obvious how we should respond to what we find ourselves experiencing. We search for meaning, grapple with doubts, and yearn for connection with God. Ignatius's insight into the nuanced shifts in our spiritual landscape offers a map for navigating our relationship with God. In essence, the discernment of spirits acts as a spiritual diagnostic tool, enabling us to detect and address the root causes of spiritual desolation. It's this clarity and understanding that can deeply transform your spirituality and foster a closer, more intimate connection with the divine. By learning to discern your interior movements, you're not only more attuned to your well-being, but also better positioned to be of service to others and to cultivate a life of deep meaning and fulfillment. Last week, we explored spiritual consolation, that enriching state where you feel connected to your source of awe. It's that uplifting sensation of being in tune with your soul's deepest calling. And now we're pivoting to the concept of spiritual desolation, an experience characterized by a feeling of disconnection and distance from God. In this episode, you'll gain a deeper understanding of the natural ups and downs of the spiritual life, so that you can have more ease and inner peace. You'll get practical tools for how to recognize the signs of spiritual desolation. You'll learn how to distinguish between depression and spiritual desolation. It's very important because this distinction will help you take the appropriate steps towards the type of healing that you need. We will discover the three major reasons behind spiritual desolation. We'll learn about how Ignatius discovered these elusive interior movements of the soul in the first place. The discernment of spirits is about becoming aware of the subtle spiritual shifts that influence you in your day. You'll feel less alone and more capable of facing desolation when it hits you. If you're me and you want to know why things happen as they do, you might have wondered, why do consolation and desolation even happen? Why is it that sometimes we feel close to God and other times we can't feel the divine presence at all? Sometimes it's easy to access inner guidance and other times we feel completely aimless. Why? There are specific reasons desolation happens, and we'll get to that. But it's helpful to see that these movements, consolation, desolation, feeling close to God, feeling further away, these motions of the soul are part of a natural cycle of change. In much the same way that nature follows its own cycles, our spiritual lives ebb and flow through seasons of consolation and desolation. There's comfort in recognizing that, like nature, our spiritual experiences aren't static. They're part of a much larger, beautifully orchestrated cycle of life. And by observing and aligning with those cycles, you can minimize desolation and invite a smoother passage through your own spiritual seasons, which fosters a sense of peace and resilience. For example, spring is an ideal time for productivity because everything around you is blooming. The days get longer, we spend more time outdoors, there's a fresh energy in the air. And the winter is an excellent time for rest and reflection because there's less sunlight. It's a natural time to recover and to live on the fruits that you harvested in the warmer seasons. In that same way, consolation is like your soul's summertime, and desolation is like your soul's winter. In the summer, you have lots of energy. There's great abundance. There's beauty everywhere, and it's easy to recognize because you're in consolation. You feel close to the divine. And in the winter, in desolation, the world shrinks and the cold draws us inside. Like desolation, this time asks us to slow down, to nourish yourself with the richness of what you've gathered in the warmer months. It's a season for introspection, a time designed for inner work and finding the warmth that comes from deep within your soul. During this metaphorical cold season of desolation, the landscape outside may seem barren, but you're presented with a unique opportunity to explore the fertile ground of your inner life. Winter, in its essence, is not merely a time of dormancy, but a phase of preparation for renewal, setting the stage for the reawakening of consolation that follows. The mystical Easter. So by understanding these natural cycles, you can better align your spiritual practices with them and optimize your connection with God to find greater peace within yourself and more ease during the natural seasons of desolation. In today's fast-paced world, it's all too easy to forget that we are part of something much bigger than ourselves. Our lives are so packed full of technology and schedules, and that can take us away from the natural world and consequently away from our own inner nature, which leads to desolation. As a Franciscan sister, I am convinced that there's a relationship between our disconnection with our sister Mother Earth and our inner spiritual nature. Francis of Assisi reminds us of our inherent bond with creation. He prays like this. He says, "Praised be you, my Lord, through our sister Mother Earth, who feeds us, sustains us, and rules us." Francis had the utmost respect for nature. It's about living harmoniously with both the natural world and our fellow beings and foster a deep respect for everything that exists. That's how we rediscover our place within the universe, not as dominators, not even as stewards, but as siblings and companions. The Indigenous people in Canada say, "all our relations," because every creature is a sibling. And it's through this familial relationship that we can reconnect to our own inner nature as well, as it's inextricably linked to the natural world. Just like nature follows its own cycles, so do we, through spiritual consolation and spiritual desolation. And when we recognize and respond to these cycles, we find ourselves more attuned to the voice of God within us. And that is something to pay attention to. Paying attention doesn't just diminish the feelings of desolation, it brings you closer to a state of consolation where you'll regain a sensation of unity and peace with all that is. Okay, so having said all of that about natural cycles, Ignatius would also tell you that you're not completely at the whim of spiritual ebbs and flows. It's not so much a contradiction as it is a paradox. Both are true at the same time. It's true that this is a natural closeness and distance from God. And it's also true that there are ways you can navigate the spiritual landscape and master the art of discernment so that you can find equanimity and build resilience during times of desolation. So here are three steps you can take to get through desolation more easily. Step one, be aware. Observe your experience without judgment. Acknowledge whether you're in a state of consolation, feeling close to God, or desolation, feeling distant. Step two, understand. What factors are contributing to your current spiritual state? This isn't about overanalyzing, but gently unraveling the threads of your experience to find patterns or triggers. Step three, take action. Armed with awareness and understanding, it's time to respond. This doesn't just mean making big changes. Sometimes the most profound action is simply choosing to trust and be patient with yourself. Be aware, understand, take action. These are the framework for the 14 rules for the discernment of spirits. Okay, so let's talk about spiritual desolation now. Sometimes, for reasons unknown, darkness settles in and the bottom drops out. For most of us, spiritual desolation is actually easier to identify than spiritual consolation. Desolation leaves us wrestling with emptiness, or worse, like there's a black hole in your heart that sucks away hope, but from the inside, so you can't escape it. There's despair, desperation, existential dread, and a feeling of being abandoned by God. This isn't just about feeling distance from yourself or others. It's a deep-seated disconnection from your source of meaning. It's like a blanket of fog that blurs the line between you and everything else. Consolation fades, and it feels as if you're wandering through life without a map. Your inner light is kind of dim, and it makes the world seem cold, less inviting. This spiritual void is more than an emotion. It's an absence, a space where once there was an intimate dialogue with God. Now, it's a vacuum. If you find yourself in such a place, name it for what it is: spiritual desolation. Remember step one, be aware. One of the main symptoms of desolation is feeling pulled towards temporary comfort. You know, those small pleasures that promise satisfaction but leave you feeling emptier than before? Mindlessly opening the fridge, scrolling through your phone. Desolation is like a thirst, but not for food or entertainment. It's a thirst that cannot be quenched by anything but God. The biggest obstacle for most people in the spiritual journey is to navigate through that thirst of spiritual desolation. It's one thing to know the darkness is there, and it's entirely another to find yourself lost in it, feeling untethered from God. This disconnection isn't just daunting. It can spiral into questioning your purpose in life. It can leave you feeling aimless. One of the most poignant portrayals of desolation is from Ignatius's very own life. He experienced times of desolation that deeply shaped his spiritual insights and helped him create his seminal work. His first real encounter with desolation occurred after he was gravely injured at the Battle of Pamplona. During his long and painful recovery, Ignatius found himself oscillating between reading chivalric romances and reading about the lives of the saints. It was during this time that Ignatius began to notice a distinct difference in his feelings after reading these two types of literature. While the tales of knights and battles initially provided a sense of excitement, they left him feeling empty and dissatisfied, a state akin to what he would later define as desolation. By contrast, the stories of the saints and mystics filled him with a sense of peace and purpose, drawing him closer to a sense of meaning and God. This was a pivotal moment for Ignatius because he began to understand the importance of discernment, distinguishing between consolation that lead you towards your sense of meaning and desolation that pull you away. So his recovery period after the Battle of Pamplona became a crucible for transformation, teaching him that desolation, while challenging, could also serve as a powerful catalyst for discernment. One of the questions I frequently get asked on this topic is, what is the difference between desolation and depression? Now, I know many of you who listen to the Holy Rebels podcast work in professions that have to do with healing, health, ministry, or other areas that are strongly focused on the inner life that people have. People who work in the healing professions or have done a lot of inner work on themselves with a therapist or trauma work or inner child work, stuff like that, people like that wonder whether desolation is just an old-fashioned term for what we call depression. It's not. They are definitely distinct. While it's possible for someone to experience both depression and desolation simultaneously, they're unique and they require different forms of support. We can't assume that all depression has its roots in desolation, nor can we say that desolation is merely a spiritualization of depression. It can be confusing because the symptoms of depression and desolation often overlap. But the hallmark of desolation is feeling cut off from God and lacking a direction. It's like being adrift at sea. You're so far away from your sense of meaning and purpose. Now, sometimes spiritual practitioners encounter depressed people who express feeling this disconnect from the divine, and then they mistakenly interpret the condition, depression, solely through the lens of desolation. And that's a mistake, because while spiritual support can provide immense comfort and guidance, recognizing the necessity for holistic care that addresses both psychological and spiritual needs is crucial. Desolation can be a spiritual state that leads to depression, but they are not interchangeable terms. Now that we have a better understanding of what spiritual desolation is, let's talk about the three primary reasons that it might be occurring. When you understand which of the three reasons is likely the cause of your desolation, then you can do something about it. Reason one, you're not tending to your spiritual garden. Think of your spiritual life like a beautiful, thriving garden. Just as a garden needs regular watering, weeding, sunlight, your soul needs prayer, reflection, and connection with the divine. If you're too caught up in the busyness of your life, you might start to neglect these spiritual practices. Of course, we all do that, but slowly, your inner garden starts to wilt. It's easy to do, especially when life pulls you in a million different directions. But remember, a little bit of care every day goes a long way to keeping your spiritual garden flourishing. So the next time you're feeling low and you suspect it might be desolation, you need to practice the discernment of spirits. Be aware, understand, take action. So be aware that the desolation is present. Understand, maybe you're not tending to your garden, and then take action. Ask yourself, when was the last time I took time to connect with God? What could I do today to tend to my spiritual garden? Maybe could I take a walk in nature and listen to some calming music? Could I light a candle and say a prayer or read a spiritual text? The second reason you might be experiencing desolation is in order to learn to love God beyond the feel-good moments. You know how it feels when everything is wonderful in your spiritual life. Those times of consolation, deep prayer, connection, and joy. We spoke at length about this state in our last episode. And while these experiences of consolation are so beautiful, there's a deeper lesson that God is inviting you into through spiritual desolation. Sometimes the divine gently withdraws from you. When consolation withdraws from you, it's an opportunity to cherish God beyond the blessings that you associate with the divine. Desolation nudges you to evolve your relationship with God so that you're not relying on spiritual highs, but so that your faith is steady and rooted in unconditional love. Imagine it like learning to love a friend for who they truly are, not just for the fun that they bring into your life. So this is your opportunity to learn unconditional love. It's an invitation, which is the essence of God itself. And therefore, through practicing unconditional love, you become more intimate with God. If you think that your desolation might be a lesson in unconditional love, practice the discernment of spirits. Ask yourself, what can I learn from this experience? How can I deepen my relationship with God beyond the feel-good moments? Reflect on what true unconditional love means to you. Who do you want to be when no one is watching? And the third reason you might be experiencing desolation is so that you can recognize God as the source of all that is good. Desolation is a reminder that every joy, every moment of comfort, every achievement in your life originates not within you, but within God. The blessings of your life are gifts bestowed on you with infinite generosity. Now, this is not to make you feel guilty in any way. It's so that you realized how loved and lovable you are. Sometimes desolation is a gentle nudge from the universe that encourages you to look beyond your own capabilities and to acknowledge that your strength and your spiritual vitality are sustained not by your own efforts, but by God's grace. Ask yourself this, what am I grateful for? Write it down right now. I know that sounds cliche, but what are you grateful for? I'm grateful for this large window in front of me so I can get some sunshine while I'm working. I'm grateful for the means of this technology so we can spend this time together. See, consciously shifting my focus to the good things around me naturally cultivates humility, and humility draws you into consolation. So what are you grateful for? So these are the three main reasons why you might feel desolation and what you can do about it. Let's summarize. The first reason you might be in desolation is because you're not tending to your spiritual garden. And if that's the case, go do something about it. This one is easy. Light a candle, go for a walk, meditate, pray, anything that draws you closer to God. The second reason you might feel desolate is because you're being encouraged to love God for its own sake. Maybe you've become attached to the spiritual highs you're getting from your practice. Well, it's best to love God for its own sake, because when desolation hits, you're going to lose your sense of spirituality. Ask yourself, who do I want to be when no one is watching? And the third main reason why you might feel desolate is because you're being reminded of your ultimate dependence on God. Find things to appreciate, the smallest little things. When you do that, you're not just grateful for the sake of it. You become humble. You are humbled because you realize how many gifts are in your life that previously went unnoticed. And that humility draws you back into consolation. If you pay close attention to what the possible causes are, you're already going to be so much better off, because you'll be able to discern a purpose behind your suffering. In his famous book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, psychotherapist and Auschwitz survivor, says, "Life is never made unbearable by circumstances, but only by lack of meaning and purpose." So make your desolation mean something, my friend, and you will get through it. The discernment of spirits didn't come from an academic study or divine revelation in the conventional sense. Ignatius drew his conclusions from his own raw experience. Imagine, he retreated to an isolated cave for 10 long months, totally cut off from the world, without distractions, without the noise of daily life. He was just alone with his thoughts, fears, his inner battles. It was in this extreme solitude, wrestling with doubt, as well as moments of profound illumination and warmth, that Ignatius discovered the existence of this inner compass we all have. And through this intense period of introspection, he was forced to confront his darkest fears and his greatest hopes. It's this direct lived experience that gave Ignatius a unique insight into the human soul's struggles and triumphs. He didn't just understand these states intellectually, he felt them, suffered them, and ultimately learned to articulate how to read the compass that's within you. And so here we are, 500 years later, still using his map to navigate the inner landscape with grace. The power of solitude cannot be overstated. I know that from personal experience. When I was finishing up my profession as a Franciscan sister and learning about discernment of spirits, I committed to a silent retreat, 40 days, 4-0. 40 days is a long time without any human contact. I did this in a monastic environment, and the rules were no speaking, no communication, no eye contact, no gesturing, no work, no social media, no computers, no reading books, nothing. Total silence. The only thing I was doing was learning to read my inner compass and figuring out the hidden, subtle nuances of how fear and intuition work. Silence became my teacher. After the retreat, I was so inspired by Ignatius's pilgrimage and the profound impact of his spiritual exercises that I felt compelled to follow in his footsteps, literally. I walked the Camino across Spain, not just as a physical challenge, but as a spiritual quest to connect with Ignatius. To pray in the cave where he brilliantly came up with the exercises. I wanted to walk the trail he was carried on. I wanted to touch that orb of the Black Madonna, to hear the same chants of the monks in the monastery above the clouds. I wanted to immerse myself in the places that shaped his revolutionary insights into the human soul. It was a profound, life-affirming experience. And now I want to share this with you. I want you to have an experience of reflecting on your inner landscape while exploring the physical one. I poured my heart into creating the Camino program for you so that you can walk the Camino and learn the discernment of spirits at the same time. If you feel a calling to walk the Camino, send me a message. But whether you join me or not, please remember this. The ebbs and flows of consolation and desolation are a natural part of the spiritual life. Instead of avoiding these ups and downs, it's best to become aware, understand, and take decisive action. Next week, we'll talk about the most important decision you will ever make when you're in consolation and what you absolutely must avoid when you're in desolation. I will be sharing my two favorite rules from the discernment of spirits. These two things will help you make sound, wise, clear decisions, big and small. These guidelines are a lighthouse in the darkness of desolation. They guide you back to your core, to your inner compass, and ultimately to a place of deep understanding and peace. I hope you found this conversation enriching and helpful, my friend. I hope that you'll reflect on why desolation might be showing up in your life. It would be a great asset to your spiritual growth. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you so much for spending your time with me. Trust the mystic within you.